This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This morning on the show, I've got Kelv Gunn, the CEO and founder of The Rainmakers, an online marketplace for property investment. Founded in July 2022, The Rainmakers wants to make property investing more accessible to retail investors, helping them get a fractional slice of property ownership without the typical financial strains that come with property investing. Having raised 620,000 ringgit in a pre-seed capital round, the Rainmakers are trying to raise a seed round now of up to 1.2 million ringgit at a pre-money valuation of 6 million ringgit through equity crowdfunding. They're offering just under 17% of the company, and the post-money valuation is expected to be around 7.2 million. Having only completed two projects since they've started, worth around 1.25 million, a fraction of, I guess, the total addressable market or the objective of the what they can attain in the longer run. We'll dive into why the Rainmakers are looking to raise these new funds, the motivations behind Kelv's ambition to make property investing more accessible, and what the future looks like for this business. Kelv, welcome to the show. How are you feeling this morning?
Hi, Roshan. Thanks for having me today.
Any nerves? Oh, first time on air with us, I assume?
Yeah, oh, so far so good now.
Yeah, I think I like the way you put it, right? It's start engine one. After that, you'll be okay in a few minutes.
Yep.
But Kelv, of course, we got to talk with the first thing we have to address, because you are raising funds on ECF platform, is that at the very top of that page, there's a disclaimer, right? Yep. That reads that Genji Labs, which is the company that runs the Rainmakers, engages in security-related activities and is required to obtain a license from the Securities Commission of Malaysia. And failure to secure this license may adversely impact, affect their business operations. Now, this is a key, if not the key, business risk for you going forward. Where are you with your conversations and engagements with the Securities Commission on all this?
So far, we've been actively been talking to security commissions to how to innovate this product and bring it, create the right framework and offer it to the public. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually happy to work together with them, because in order to protect all the stakeholder interests. So, yep, we are actually on the right track on that.
So you're already operating. So this engagement with the Securities Commission, what licensing is that for versus what you are doing today?
It would be actually very similar licensing as you compare what ECF kind of work looks like. So we are actually fractionalizing a property into a smaller piece of interest. Mm-hmm. So as everyone will be able to invest in their properties at as low as 500 ringgit, that's the low entry barriers. Mm-hmm. So the right framework, they're actually looking very close to the equity crowdfunding licensing.
So that is the aspiration. That's where you're trying to work with the SE to get towards.
Yep, exactly.
What is the business like today?
So all good now, because when we first started, let me bring it back towards July 2022. We first started this from scratch, where in terms of advising, getting advice from the legals, you know, creating the business structures and stuff like that. So moving to that direction was like, given us like 6 month periods to create the whole products. And when, I still remember when I first started this product, where I still using papers and pitch deck on my iPad to pitch to the investors to invest in the properties, and signing papers conventionally. That's how to get it done. Before, on the second property, where we actually fully develop a tech where the investors will be able to conduct and complete the entire flow of checkout processes via our marketplace and dashboards.
All right. And right now, as it currently operates, what are they buying, right? Are they, because the aim is fractionalized investment and getting crowdfunding sources of, that's the aim. Today, what is the, because you've completed two deals, right? So talk to us a little bit about, you know, was it that one buyer came and bought one property, or did you list it? Like, what are the mechanics at play here today?
All right. So we fractionalize the property to as low as 500 ringgit. Mm-hmm. So anyone that has this money...
And that is today. That's what you're doing today.
Yeah, that's what we're doing today. So what we're actually doing today is we offer this chance to majority of the Malaysians that able to start investing into real estate at a very low entry barrier. So we started this like back in July, like I mentioned. So mm-hmm. right now, our smallest ticket is still 500, but our biggest ticket will be 250,000. So it really depends on...
So there is an upper limit to that.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And it's all commercial property, correct?
All commercial properties.
So right now, you're already doing this fractionalized business. So what is this this ECF model that you're looking towards, right? What is the difference between now and that possible future?
Okay, wherever we're raising from lead capital right now, we're actually very lucky because we get the endorsement from the managing partner of Lead Ventures, the VCs, will also be investing into us. So this is also lead us to how to bring this mechanism of the fractional real estate investment firm to the public.
Correct. But, you know, you say you want to, you know, you wanted to, with your working with the SC on making it more like ECF kind of structure, right?
Yep.
So what is the difference between that future model that you're looking at and how the business is operating today?
Oh, okay. So what we are doing right now is we source for properties and we bring it to the platform and marketplace and we fractionalize the property and offer to the investors. So going forward in the future, what we're actually going to change will be, we probably will actually open the door for anyone that owns property in Malaysia, they're able to actually lease their property on our platforms and offer it to the investors that wanted to invest into it. So our part here will be more towards on due diligence and running to make sure that this property is not stuck, is actually legally able to sell off. Then we bring it on to onboard it to our marketplace. Yeah.
So you started the Rainmakers to make property investing more accessible, specifically commercial properties. Why?
Commercial property is a market where we think there's an underserved market that in Malaysia, because REITs take care of higher bracket of commercial properties where they go for shopping malls, lands and stuff like that. So there's always an underserved commercial property site, which is like service apartments for Airbnb, where they generate good steady incomes, where we also can look into shop lots, where we can also look into stratified type of office lot and stuff like that.
Right.
So this is what we are targeting to actually penetrate into underserved commercial property segments.
And your, you know, given your background, you were a banker. You helped you worked a lot with high net worth individuals. Your co-founder Joe has a lot of has worked with in the financial space before. I think she was with Binance, and she also had a very like market analysis one thing, but building that community, which can be very important for marketplaces. So both of you have complementary skill sets in the sense that yes, relationship building, but maybe you have a bit more of that high net worth network. Why property specifically, right? Because you could have gone into any other space. Is there a particular story behind why you're focused on property?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I always tell people that, you know, for fellow Malaysians, I think investing into property is always in the DNA. Hmm. That's what my parents taught me, you know, get a good education, you know, get a good job and earn a good income. So once you do that, what you need to do next is buy property for your retirement. Mm. So investing in property is always my kind of like my habits and being nurtured by my parents. So moving towards my 10 years corporate careers in HSBC, where this is where I basically start accumulating and buying, investing into properties, and I actually accumulated 5. But I hit a root bump where the bank come and tell me saying that, sorry, I can't approve your 6th loan, the 6th property loan, mainly due to your high debt service ratio, where due to all the 5 property loans and we have with us and stuff like that. So that's where I realized that, I couldn't build up my real estate portfolio anymore because there's no way I can get cash buy a property. So this is where I left my corporate career in 2020 during COVID, investing in a few companies, and I've been thinking, how can I overcome these problems? And doing research and see what can be done from overseas and out of Malaysia, and you know, trying to find some innovative way to change this landscape of investing. Then I realized that fractional real estate investment is actually doable. It's actually something very new in the market in Malaysia, and that's where I go deeper and dig deeper into it, and that's how the Rainmaker was started. Yeah.
And when it comes to this part of the business, who is your, I mean, Securities Commission would be the regulator that you're working with on the ECF part, but with the business today, is that also the SC that you're working with in terms of how you operate today?
Yes.
All right.
SC Securities Commission is what we are actually working very closely and to make sure that we actually adapt to the right framework, like I mentioned just now, and to basically adhere to all the compliances to protect the stakeholder interests.
Now, you say you've got a fully developed functional platform that's on the ECF website. But given how new this is, relatively speaking, you've still got regulatory hurdles to get through, right? You haven't fully realized what you're trying to build here. Where do you think you are in your product market fit journey?
Okay, when we first started, we started with papers and iPads, right, mm-hmm. to pitch our ideas and property sales, property investment. Then when we actually fully developed the entire dashboard, this is where all the investors come and getting their feedbacks and understanding is about how they feel like it. And they're probably all amazed with, oh, I basically can do the whole entire property investment online, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a few problems that we are trying to remove, which is the tedious acquisition process, where you get your hand dirty in terms of going through agents, signing legal documents, getting the loan, getting the key renovation and stuff like that. So we are removing that, and most of the investors are actually quite amazed where we can come in with the solutions that they just need to go everything online with the trusted party, and then yeah, that's all. And then they can just lay back and relax, you see.
So you feel that with the current product that you have that you've achieved product market fit?
It is. Because I speak to more than 500 people so far, and to get their feedback and stuff like that. So it's that overall, this is what we get from the publics. And yeah, so far, this is the right product market.
So you spoke to people. Did you speak to people before you? Because this was your own itch you wanted to scratch, right? Did you test or validate the idea with other people before you raised money and went ahead with the project?
Yep. I done that right before when I got this idea, mm-hmm. and go to our friends and family, first of all, to tell them what I'm doing right now and to get this idea validated. Some say yes, some say no, and some say this is not doable and stuff. And continuously enhancing and prove my concept right. And that's our reason why I raised my own pre-seed, because with the concept level, it's very hard for us to approach VC. And that's the reason why I raised my own pre-seed round and to get this idea validated and go on with the tech, the dashboard developments, and then offer it to the public. So we've done a few major ring fencing here, like I mentioned, because I knew that this is actually a security-related activities. So what I have done is, first of all, we actually appointed a trustee to collect the funds on behalf of all the investors. So we have no link to the funds that we actually receive. Mm. Second of all would be we ensure all the properties are legally owned by the investors. So with these two ring fencing kind of things, we make sure that the investors are really protected.
So you're not holding the money, and neither are you holding the assets at the end of the day. It's no. All right.
Yeah.
Kelv, we've got to go into a few messages. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the pathway ahead as well as the target market and why you're raising this new round of funding. Folks, I've been speaking with Kelv Gunn. He's the CEO and co-founder of The Rainmakers, an online marketplace for property investment. I'm Roshan Gunnison. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and this morning I'm speaking with Kelv Gunn, CEO and founder of The Rainmakers, an online marketplace for property investment. Now, Kelv, you're very early, right? You're 1.5 years into this building this business. Product still has a way to go. You have some product market fit, but there's other ambitions in the offing. For early investors, oftentimes it really comes down to who the founders are, right? It's a sense of character and how far you can take this business. So give us a sense about your background and your co-founder's background, Joe, and how the two of your experiences kind of come together and will support the building and scaling of this business in the longer run.
Well, with the right mindsets and also right core, we actually started this business. Of course, with my investing background for over 10 years, it gave me a good fundamentals in terms of building up the whole entire business, because I do understand how or what the investors usually wants for, because I come from that background. And in terms of your backgrounds, will be mainly from a Binance and also community building kind of background, where we actually mainly try to retain and also build up the user base for the Rainmakers.
Who are you also targeting, right? Because given your network and her network, you're not only targeting seasoned investors, there's a bit of a mass appeal here that you're hoping for, but given how illiquid property is, even in a fractionalized form, without a secondary market, and that, you know, property investing isn't for everybody, right? Like for me, it's not something that I'm a much more equity person. So how are you filtering investors so that you're only getting the investors with the appropriate temperament, timeline, and liquidity being the most important part, right?
Yeah. So basically how we do is we're actually giving choices for investors to invest in. So if you browse through our marketplace, you'll be able to read through all the property details before you land your investment with us. So basically you will have a very detailed prospectus provided for you to understand how's the property doing so far in terms of renters, how's the market being transacted. So before that, you'll be able to understand and better to think that this whether suits you or not. Then if this is not for you, what you can do, you can just skip this investment and go for the next property. So it rather give you options whether that you have a choice to go for it. Yeah.
So no active filtering on your part. So it really does come down to buyer beware. They've got to read the information present and make their own decision in terms of whether it suits them.
Yep, correct.
Now, why would seasoned investors go to you, right? Because, you know, if they're high net worth individuals, they could probably do the deal themselves or, you know, get two or three of their friends and get it done. Yeah. Why would they need a platform like yours?
So on seasoned investors, or what we usually call it, high net worth individual, we actually offer them in terms of diversifications. I've always been telling them whether if you have $1 million in hand, would you rather just put $1 million in one property and be exposing to one risk, or you rather put 100,000 into 10 properties, where you, although it's a fraction of a property, but you diversify your risk. Basically, you'll probably land a deal in KL, in Penang, in Johor, and stuff like that. So you will have a better diversification and better use of the funds. And this is what we actually always emphasize in terms of property investments for the investors.
And I understand that there's also a voting system in play so that if people want to make a decision to sell a property, if a deal comes in, they can go through that voting system. Is that correct?
Exactly. Because we are still developing in the pipeline, we'd have a secondary market kind of trading platform where we are still developing.
Pipeline, right?
Yeah, in the pipeline. So, but we're also thinking that as the investors that comes into your platform, we have to prepare an exit plan for the investors. So what we do is we created a voting system. This voting system is basically to cater for the needs of the investors that wanted to exit early. But beforehand, I always tell investors, if you come to the property investment, you should have a longer mindset of holding, because this is not a stock. So basically, you have to have a longer mindset to hold a property. So in terms of voting system, how it works, as long as 75% of the investors agree to sell the property, we act as a platform will then dispose this property back to the market.
Right. You take 5% for every investment made. You take another 2% for investment withdrawals. And you've also got 3% on rental income generated.
Exactly.
So there is a rental income component of this, right? It's not just about acquiring and flipping the asset. You're also generating, making it, because it's a commercial property, so you can rent it out and generate income from that. That's essentially here what you're selling, right?
Exactly. So buy and sell is our day-to-day things that we need to do. But in terms of routine kind of things that we try to park it will be the rental collections. Every property that we acquire will then lease out or rent out to the people that needed it.
Right.
Then when we collect the rents back from the renters, we then distribute this money back to the investors. Beforehand, we will then take out 3% from the renter that we collected as part of the company revenues.
Your fees, lah. Now, are you the one going out and leasing this out, or do you have a partner that will come in to do it? Because can be a different kind of business in itself, right? To go out and get tenants to come into these properties.
Yeah, exactly. So in every demographic, every areas will have a core property management team that doing their job, their daily tasks. So we usually talk to them to be our associates and to be our partners in terms of property operators. That would then manage the day-to-day job in terms of housekeeping and stuff like that for short-term stays properties.
Right now, sourcing and identifying, sourcing, and getting these deals and properties a key part of the business, right? Because you have to make sure that there's a certain level of quality that you're bringing to the platform. What is your current scouting and strategy, sourcing strategy for properties?
Okay, we divided a few categories in terms of property sourcings. First of all, it will be for long-term stay, which is pretty straightforward that this property is meant for a long-term parties to stay on. So if there's a property, good locations that are actually suitable for a short-term stay, we will then do due diligence from our OTA reports, which is the online travel agencies, to understand the property rental markets working on for the last 2 years. So basically, we understand what's the per night charge, what's the per night day they've been charging and stuff like that. Then from there, we will derive the figures and say this property is actually investable. So beforehand, I also check the market transacted to invest, to bring this property on board on our marketplace.
Now, clearly for investors or anyone who wants to take a look at this business, the numbers going to be a big part, right? Especially in this current environment where profitability is key. So your financial report filed in the ECF filing shows that in 2023, you made a revenue of 25,000 ringgit and net profit was that loss of 407,000 ringgit. What are you forecasting ahead, right? Because, okay, first year, you've got some sunk costs from the development of the tech and all of these different things. And you only did two deals last year. What are you forecasting in terms of revenue ahead and that path to profitability? That's going to be a key question for most investors.
So this is a very good question because our goal right now basically to acquire users and to turn this user to be our investors. Mm-hmm. So statistically, under the market sizing, we realized that there's actually 4.1 million Malaysians that actively doing property investment, investment online. So our role here is to convert this group of people to be our users and investors. And we are basically targeting 5% of this user group to be our investors, which will equate to about 11.3 million revenue by in 3 years' time. So by achieving this goal, we are targeting to achieve approximately about 200 million worth of properties deals to bring it on and offer to the public.
25,000 in revenue to 11 million in a few years' time is very ambitious. It may come down to whether that 5% number is a bit ambitious as well. How did you come to that 5%, identifying that 5% of this 4.1 million is the appropriate market for you?
Okay. When we first started this conversation, I would say that property investing is easier to be accepted or by the public. Mm. Basically, like I say, it's already in the DNA for fellow Malaysians that investing in property is a thing must do when you actually start earning income. So as far as I'm concerned that to adapt this 5% goal of this 200,000 users, we actually have to actively be doing educational videos and actually approaching them to make sure that they do understand the concept of freshness. Mm. So our role here is basically to conduct more collaborations with the market players as well as the collaborators to spread these words of a freshness real estate investment to the public.
Yeah, but again, 5% of a 4.1 million, it still sounds a little aggressive for a 3-4 year trajectory here.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're very confident in that ability?
It is, because why? Let's bring a statistics or towards where in terms of 31 million Malaysians, there's a good over 50% Malaysians that invested into properties. Mm. So investing into property is things that are already in the mindset. So it's not something that I have to think whether this is whether doable or not in terms of a company or so. Mm. And this is the asset back. So they do know that there's a fundamental value for everything that you invested in. So to bring them on towards 5% is actually something very below target. Mm. And going towards the right futures that we're actually going in, we can easily penetrate more than 500,000 users. Yeah, but we're trying to be very conservative right now.
And I'm presuming that in order to hit those targets, a big part of this will be contingent on the conversations you have with the Securities Commission and getting the appropriate ECF-like licensing in order to really make this business grow. Is that correct?
Exactly.
All right, Kelp, we've got more to get into, particularly on the equity crowdfunding round that you're raising and what those funds are going to be used for. But we've got to go into the news bulletin first. So we'll come back and talk about that. Folks, I've been speaking with Kelp Gunn, CEO and founder of The Rainmakers, an online marketplace for property investment. I'm Roshan Kanesan. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Big front man, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and this morning I'm speaking with Kelp Gunn, CEO and founder of The Rainmakers, an online marketplace for property investment. Now, The Rainmakers is currently offering up to 16% of the company to raise 1.2 million ringgit on an equity crowdfunding platform called Leet Capital. And just again, at the very top of that ECF page is a disclaimer that reads that Genji Labs, the company behind this, engages in securities-related activities and is required to obtain a license from the Securities Commission of Malaysia, and failure to secure this license may adversely affect their business operations. Earlier, I asked Kelp about this and that he is in talks with the Securities Commission, and they're, you know, talking about how to take the business forward. Now, this is your second funding round, Kelp. The first being a pre-seed round of 620,000 ringgit. So why are you going through equity crowdfunding as opposed to reaching out to other funders out there?
Okay, so what we need, why we need ECF is because our platform is made for B2C kind of approach. We need more users to aware of our existing platforms and what we are doing right now. So we think that it's actually a better idea for us to share this thing via ECF to approach more people to come in, to become our stakeholders as well. It would be a good way to become our investor in the future.
And before we get into the plans for the new funds, how was the pre-seed money of 620,000 ringgit spent?
Well, this what we raised in pre-seed, we actually been using it for in terms of legal advice, in terms of tech developments, as well as part of the marketing that we're actually conducting. Because most of our marketing session requires us to do a lot of educational kind of approach to actually educate the markets that what is fractional real estate investment is all about.
Now in 2023, of course, you made a net loss of 407,000 ringgit, if I remember correctly. So it's still investing in the business because you only generated around about 25,000 in revenue on the back of that. Talk to us about where the money was spent in last year primarily. Was it on customer acquisition? Was it continued development? And where do you see money being invested forward in terms of customer acquisition?
Okay. We spent approximately about 25 to 30% in terms of tech developments, you know, where
just last
more
year.
Than just last year, where it comes up with the fully tech, fully functional platforms. That's what's make it available right now. And then we actually also spend about more than 30% in terms of marketing. This is where we spend in terms of educating the market.
Where did you spend this marketing money?
So it all has been spent in terms of social media, where it's also creating videos of myself and telling people what's the difference between a fractional real estate investment versus REITs and a normal conventional buying. So this is a part of where for us to approach to tell people the differences. But let me tell you a very interesting story. From this social media advertising, I actually met an e-hailing driver from Kedah, where this is where he asked a lot of queries online and say, I actually answered all the queries, and he personally drove down from Kedah to KL. And to cut it short, yes, he landed his first investment in, but his quote basically kept me going because he's saying that actually quite glad to have the Rainmakers because over the last 50 years, I never got a chance to invest into property in KL. So basically, I saw the gap, and this is why I say product market fit is actually validated because it really gives a chance for people from out of KL to invest in the property in outstations or just KL. So, yep, that's where you go so far.
You know, but you know, Kelp, you say that, and yes, on one part, it's inspirational and keeps you going. But on the other part, you know, as an e-hailing driver from out of town, might not have stable income, liquidity might be an issue. So are you not worried that, you know, people may be putting money where they may need it in a few years, right?
Understood. So first of all, I always tell investors that this is investing into properties. So you should have a mindset that appreciation don't come next year. Might not be the next 3 years. So whatever funds that you able to allocate out for this investment, you have to probably lock it for at least 3 to 5 years onwards. And as long as they know what they actually go into. And yep, that's where you go.
So growth ahead is going to be contingent on acquiring users. Yep. You know, you have a 5% of 4.1 million target right now. What's the customer acquisition strategy going to be focused on? And what's the focus going to be on? Right, because you've spent money on social media. Are you going to be expanding beyond that? Because might be quite limited, just social media.
Yeah, social media was a good start to really educate them. Mm. Where we also plan to actually to work closely with some market players in terms of property podcastings and stuff to really bring this up, whole ideas, and to approach, to give this whole fresh ideas about freshener things to the public, and also attending to more public events and stuff to bring awareness of, you know, boost the credibility of the platform of the Dreammakers and bring it off to on the table for the public.
Can you give us a sense for what customer acquisition cost is like for you right now? I mean, in time it might come down, but right now, what are you spending?
When we first started, it pretty high, probably goes up to about $2 and stuff. Mm. But because people don't really know what it is all about. But we see a slightly decrease in terms of CPA, our cost per acquisition. We're probably now landing at about slightly below $1. Mm. But that's a good improvement compared when we first started.
Yeah.
That's almost like half, is it? Cut half. So we'll continue to work it out. So like I say, when you work closely with more market players and to boost the credibility, it would then reduce the CPA to a lower volume.
Yeah, because ultimately that CPA coming down comes down to lowering that friction, right, basically.
Yes.
It's like, how do you lower that friction so that people trust your brand enough to... So branding actually plays a big part in that. Are you looking at larger kinds of branding strategies, you know, non-digital marketing spend?
It is, but at the moment that we actually got user base of above 1,000 to 5,000, that is where we will actually then conduct, you know, offline events to really give educations and live talk so that they will have a better understanding, and then to collaborate with some market players, like I mentioned just now, to boost the credibility.
What else are you banking on to drive growth for the Rainmakers ahead?
To actually grow the entire Rainmaker is very, very depending on the market forces plus the adaptability. Mm. So back then, in terms of ECF, like I mentioned, just to cover back, with the COVID, it's actually a blessing in disguise in a way, because a lot of people start to learn about investing online. Mm. And with that has been nurtured, has been actually blended in, I believe it actually gives us a very good ways of to grow the business further. So like I mentioned, investing in the company through ECF as well as investing into property is actually very similar things. And the only thing that we're actually telling investors that this is much more, in the way, safer, because you have an asset back. So a lot of investors do agree and they actually understand this perspective. And yeah, this is the way.
You're raising funds now. You raised $620,000 pre-seed. You made a loss of $407,000. Rough math would put your runway at around 200,000 ringgit in the bank right now. How much of a runway does the cash that you have left right now buy you before you need to really have these funds, new funds come into the bank?
I would say the run rate will last for about 6 months or so, where we will continuously being educating, because we need to pump it back to the market to educate the users. Mm-hmm. And yep, I think 6 months is a good numbers to go for.
All right. And you're pitching to equity crowd investors. And one of the key risks with any kind of equity crowdfunding is whether you get stuck and how long you get stuck with this investment. Mm. And yes, when you buy a early stage company, you have to be ready for that long slog possibly, but exits can come in many different ways. So what are the plausible exit pathways for investors that come into this round, right? Are you looking at, is it a long-term trajectory? Are you aiming to get them liquidated in pre-series A, series A? What are your thoughts?
Okay, the Rainmakers, which is the fractional real estate investment firm, has a very long terms view on these business structures. Mm. This is where, as we grow the users and we build trust with the users, where we can actually acquire or buy down buildings that actually offer generating income for the investors. Mm. So the term horizon for the SC plan, for me, I will not retire very soon. I'll be here. So for those investors that actually tend to hold on, that we actually can hold on for the next 8 to 10 years. But for quick investors that want to exit earlier, there's always a pre-series A fundings that they may actually look into. Mm. Because in terms of this business model, we will have to actually ongoingly raising funds in terms of to scale up the operation as well as the expansion. Because this business might just started in Malaysia. It actually brings up the potential to actually expand to our neighbor countries like Indonesia and Singapore, where they already adapted the fractional real estate investment methodology.
Yeah. Now, of course, there's no guarantee that a pre-Series A or Series A investor will take up those shares from the equity crowdfunding portion, and that investors should be prepared for the long haul, correct?
Exactly.
And in terms of, I know you've just said that you're not planning to retire anytime soon. You are quite young. I don't expect you to be retiring anytime soon. But typically in the longer term, between M&A and IPO, these are two options, really, when it comes to long-term exit trajectory. Some of them maybe don't want to take and just run the business on their own over the longer term. I'm starting to see more of that now. How do you view this?
There could be a potential for merger and acquisitions because whatever this model, fractional models that we're doing, is actually very similar to a REITs market that we're actually targeting.
So position yourself as an M&A target.
We might be actually acquired by REITs, but all these things are very early stage, but it may be a possibility that happen in the future.
Kelv, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Roshan.
Folks, I've been speaking with Kelv Gunn, CEO and founder of The Rainmakers, an online marketplace for property investment. And if you miss any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app. You can also find our shows on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Just look up for Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kennison. You've been listening to Open for Business. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.